I did a study this morning that was really interesting. And, you know, this is not what I want to teach today in the sense of the series, but it's interesting. Interesting. I'm just going to tell you about it, and we'll just move the programming around a little bit. There's a passage in Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. It says, "Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord." Of course, that's the story of the 12 spies, 10 returns with bad reports, recommendation, don't go on, and while Joshua and Caleb said, let's do it. Now, the word I looked at today is the word melt. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt." The word melt is a word which means to flow down. Think of an ice cream cone. You stand in an ice cream cone and it's hot and all the ice cream starts flowing down towards your hand. Or better yet, a candle. The wax flows downward. Now, some translators will insert the word fear to indicate that the people were overcome with fear and their hearts melted. And that's part of it, I'm sure. Another use of the word actually means that candle actually flowing downward. Once it is melted, the flame has gone out. See, with them, it just wasn't fear. It was the final melting of the wax that held the flame of the experiences of their life. That's what it did. The candle had been melting since they left Egypt. Yeah. See, and this wax is made of self-sufficiency, pride, and the expectation of comfort and security. But we know the journey was anything but easy, a piece of cake. They faced starvation, they faced thirst, they faced poisonous snakes. They had invading armies, disease. Yeah, sure, God had delivered them. But I want you to hear this. They were tired of it all. Have you ever been tired of it all? So the wax was melting. The wax was melting. And finally, there was their reward. And in all that, they lost heart. Milk and honey. Now, see, they became melted. And they became a people of limited endurance, and they came to the breaking point of their lives. Have you ever been there? I bet you have. Now, that was the point for Israel. They had reached the breaking point. They had gone under. Now, the final challenge was before them. But it was really no different than the previous challenges. Because all of it, all the challenges, they faced starvation. They faced dying of thirst. They faced being killed by invading armies. Sure, they saw the water come from a rock. They saw food come from heaven. And they know they were delivered from the armies. But they see giants in the land. Big deal. So what? They faced giant problems before. And they always move forward. Now, at this point, they had a choice to go forward or not. See, the candle was beginning to wax, was beginning to grab that candle, getting shorter and shorter. See, because here's what really went on. Their desires was not the desire for God. See, in the past, they had no other choice. They had no other choice. Either stay in slavery or be delivered by God. When, see, they would depend upon God. When they needed water, God gave it to them. When they needed food, God delivered it. When they needed victory over these invading situations and the impossibilities, God, they trusted. See, and it came to a point where they just ran out of wax. They melted. So, you know the story. Joshua says, I've wholly followed my God. That's it, right there. The word follow is not a Hebrew word. It really isn't. It's a word that comes from another word, which literally means completely filled. He was saying, I'm completely filled with God. Unlike the other people, unlike the other spies. See, Joshua's flame got stronger while the other's flame got weaker. Because he was not depending upon the arm of the flesh. So the final test, this was the final exam. It really was. And to Joshua and Caleb, there wasn't another obstacle ahead of them. No. Sure, it was a test. And sure, there are problems. But it was another opportunity to see the power of God. And this time, by their own choosing, they decided to make the choice. They decided to make the choice. They decided to go forward. They decided to do what God wanted them to do. They decided to say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you in this. Now, for us, let's put it in reality. We have to have some reality here. We have to put, you know, the rubber on the road and the pedal to the metal. You know what I'm saying? You got to put reality. The Bible is a book of reality, the book of life choices. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God is to make life choices correctly. That's why wisdom is the principal thing. But you have to take it and make it a reality in our lives. You got to really take what God says and really make it something real. Something real. Something that actually occurs. See, I've been reading some interesting things, and you know, I do a lot of studies, and my philosophy, I use that term, is no longer Western theology. About 20 years ago, I went to the Eastern theology, the time when the Bible was written, the culture in which enveloped what was being written at the moment, the culture. What was the culture in the day in which Joshua said, we can do it and my flame's getting hotter? It was the culture of Egypt. It was the culture of the people around them. It was the culture of the armies that invaded them. It was the culture. So they had to deal with the culture. Why did Jesus say what he said at the time he said it? It was a culture thing. It was a culture thing. That's why he spoke in parables. He spoke in the culture of the day. He spoke in what was the reality of the moment. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. And when you do the study by single words in the passages, it becomes alive for you. So here is Joshua standing there with one other guy, Caleb, and all of the candles are melting. That's what it said, didn't it? They melted, their heart melted. Their candles were just melting in the flame to go across the Jordan into the promised land, gone out. They all went out. So They didn't go in. They turned around, went back into the desert and kicked dirt for 38 more years until they all died. See, the choice there. The enemy, listen well, the enemy will come in and the enemy will basically push us to have the candle melt. I can just put this right into the series on time. Be all right. They'll push us. He'll push us to have the candle melt. No, you can't do that. You can't go forward. You'll never be any good. You'll never be any better. God's timing is not now for you. And that's what he does. He pushes us to have the candle melt within us. That's why problem after problem after problem after problem. And every problem that comes our way, if we're not careful, the candle melts that much more. And eventually it's the what? The straw that broke the camel's back. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. And finally, what happens? You know what happens. We're under such pressure, difficulty, problems, that the flame goes out. You see? So we put, that's it. I'm going to break the camel's back here. And so the camel becomes loaded down so much that it's unable to move. And the devil keeps putting it on, putting it on, putting on, putting on, putting on. By the way, Charles Dickens wrote in a thought of Dome and Son that says, last straw breaks the laden camel's back. That was by Charles Dickens. And that was taken from an old Arab proverb about how a camel wearing shoes are loaded beyond its capacity to move. So it goes to the limit. It goes to the limit. Charles Dickens, the one. Remember Charles Dickens? Somebody says, well, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Now you know Charles Dickens wrote that. And what I'm saying is this, is don't allow the enemy to come into your life. No. And break the camel's back. It's always a choice. Don't be like they were. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Joshua 14:8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Do you have a melting heart today? Do you have a melting heart today where one more thing breaks the camel's back and it won't move forward? That's what happened today. Melting hearts. God gave them the land, but their hearts melted right before great victory. You ever notice that? You come to a point, all of us come to a point in our lives. We all do. We all come to a point in our lives where we say, wow, how much more of this can I take? How much more pain? How much more difficulty? How many more family problems that I'm able to handle? How much more sickness and disease I'm going to have? And they make a choice. That's reality, my friend. You make a choice. You make a choice to do and choose. Do and choose. And our heart melts. And the flame goes out. And we simply say, that's enough. I quit. I heard of a story of an individual that was working in a office or something, and they're always complaining that no one paid attention to him and no one this, and he'd never get a promotion and this and that. And so one day, just two story, one day a co-worker left some work behind and didn't do the work and just didn't do it. Well, this guy, his name was Bob, true story, this guy Bob started complaining. Well, I'm not doing other people's work in this company. I can't, you know, I'm tired of this. You know, they never pay attention to me. I never get any type of recognition. I'm never employee of the week and get a certain spot in the parking lot that I can put my car instead of walking half a mile. No big sign for me. Employee of the week. Park here, which is one spot from the door. Not me, not me, not me. Never, never, never. Guy was standing next to him and said, what's the problem? He said, look at this. And he complained about some work being left by a coworker. And guy said, you know, what an opportunity you have here. What? What an opportunity you have here. Why? You want to get the promotion? Yeah, yeah. You want to get notice? Yeah, yeah. Then all you do is in excellence do what the other guy has left behind. You want a principle for a living, listener? I'm telling you. Do what the other left behind. I told my children that when they were teenagers. I told them that, teenagers. I said, here's what you guys do. I got them by themselves, driving along with one child at a time, not a whole group thing, one child. And I reach over and say, Jackie, this is what you do. John, this is what you do. Andrew, this is what you do. Anthony, this is what you do. This is how you're going to be successful in your life. They told me that what I said to them changed them forever. I said, and then some. I said, that's what you do, and then some. And then some. What do you mean, Dad? When everybody else won't do, you do, and then some. Learn everything in your office that you can learn. Learn everybody's job. Learn everybody's job. My youngest son is writing books like crazy, just all kinds of things going out. And he works for a very large organization in the ministry, very large. It's a para-church organization. And they're struggling with all kinds of things. And he received a call from somebody up the ladder. He's been there about 2 or 3 years. And this is what this person said to my son, Anthony. Just weeks ago, he said, Anthony, we're going to have to let hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people working for us go. hundreds around the world. It's a worldwide organization. I'm not going to tell you the name of the organization. Hundreds. And Anthony said he just sat there and he knew, here it comes, and we're going to have to let you go too. He knew that was coming. He knew that was coming his way. And here's what was told him. They said, Anthony, we're letting them all go, but not you. You get that, listener? Letting them all go, but not you. Anthony, you want to be successful? It's and then some. That's what you do to be successful. And that's what these two men of God did. They said, and then some. Now back to the account. The man that complained, the man that bellyached, the man that just simply, I'm doing everybody else's work here, Baba. And I promise you, this is true. You know the name of that man? No. Know what his last name was? Straw.